good, excellent. So today I'm going to continue the series that I've been speaking on, Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. So this is actually the fourth part because I took 2 weeks to cover truth. And so today I'm talking about Jesus being the life. So as Hannah gets that ready for us. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. But when Jesus said, I am the life, what did he mean? What kind of life was he referring to? I'll switch it on. That might help, won't it? Life. Some of you will know the word life there is Zoe. It means absolute fullness of life, real life, active life, vigorous life. How many people are feeling vigorous this morning? You don't look it, I have to say, most of you. And you know, I don't know about you, but when I get out of bed in the morning, I don't feel particularly vigorous. That's a very vigorous looking face there, Marion, thank you. I'm a bit of a slow riser. I'm a bit of one of these, I take a bit of time just to kind of get going. Martin brings me a cup of tea and I grunt usually, I think, don't I? Whereas he's awake and he's alive, I take a little bit longer to warm up. Any others that take a little bit longer to warm up in the morning? Good. Who are those that jump out of bed and they're kind of really awake? I don't like you. I'm very jealous. Okay. So, the word for life, what Jesus is meaning here is not the, oh, drag me out of bed kind of life. It's a vigorous, alive kind of life. So today I want to look at the full picture of the kind of life that I believe that Jesus offers us. The life that he demonstrated, the life that he came to bring to us. So first of all, Jesus is everlasting life. So very familiar verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, eternal, without end, everlasting life. Now when God made man and woman at the very beginning, death wasn't part of his plan. So when Adam and Eve lived in that garden, there's two trees that are mentioned in that garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they did, when they were tempted and they disobeyed God, they were then banished from the garden and they could no longer eat of that tree of life. Death entered the world at that point. Their bodies would decay. And you and I are living examples of decaying bodies, aren't we? Some of us feel like we're decaying more than others. And some days we feel like we're decaying more than others, let's be honest. So sickness and death entered the world at that point. And you and I, as I said, are living in that legacy because we are children of Adam. We are living in that world of sin. But we can't undo what Adam and Eve did, and we too sin. We mess up, don't we? So we face the consequences of our own sin. But when Jesus came, he came to destroy the devil's work. So the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that word destroy means to undo, to set free, to dissolve, annul, deprive of authority. Jesus came to undo the work of the devil in people's lives. Isn't that a wonderful thing today? Are you pleased about that today? So we know that Satan won't be completely destroyed until Jesus comes back again. But when we come to Jesus, he can set us free from the work of the devil in our lives. And I'll read this out because I know that's small, don't worry. But in 1 Corinthians 15, we read, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus will destroy every ruler and authority and power, and death itself will be defeated. That's good news, isn't it? So in the meantime, we all will face a physical death. We all suffer as a result of being part of this world, which is broken because of sin. We all experience sickness, aging. There's natural disasters in the world, stuff that happens. Now, we may not be able to prevent our physical death, but Jesus has destroyed the power of death. He's destroyed the power of sin, which is what leads to death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Because sin is what causes us to be separated from God. And that separation is death. Now we can be free from the power of sin and free to have a relationship with God forever. An undying relationship, an eternal relationship, an everlasting relationship. We can be in the presence of God for eternity. What's that going to be like? Well, the Bible gives us some ideas, and I'm not going to expound on heaven this morning. But, you know, the important thing for me is that eternity with Jesus, being in the presence of God forever. Well, let's think about who God is. God is love. God is peace. God is hope. God is joy. God is full of everything good. So if we're in the presence of God, we're in the presence of good, love, joy, peace. And if we're not, then where there is nothing good, there is no love. Separation from God is separation from everything good. That doesn't sound like a good eternity to me. The Bible is clear. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. For when we leave this physical body, which will eventually die, we have a hope of everlasting life. And that life's going to be pretty good. But there's only one way to get it. There's only one way to that life. And we talked about this before. Jesus is the only way to that everlasting life, to that eternity with God, to that eternity in good, in love, where Jesus is. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is everlasting life. I seem to have lost myself clicker, Hannah. I don't know if you could just click that on for me. So, secondly, Jesus is resurrection life. Now, when Lazarus died, Martha met Jesus, and Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So, as I just said, when we come to Jesus, we receive everlasting life. We will live forever and we will get a new body, which will never die. But this eternal life starts the minute we receive Jesus. Now, Daryl did a brilliant series on eternal life. And he said, eternal life is not just a future blessing, but a present possession. Eternal life is to know Jesus, as we read in John 17. So Jesus will give us life again when our bodies die, but we have this resurrection life now. So we can experience resurrection now. See, although our bodies are decaying, sorry, I keep talking about this, it's depressing, isn't it? But God often intervenes. The grace of God is that he often intervenes into our decaying bodies and he brings that resurrection life to our bodies now. I'm just going to see if this works. Oh, yes, there we go. So Romans 8, verse 10 to 11 says, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." So we have the Spirit of life in us. And because we have resurrection life in us, then we can experience life in our mortal bodies. And this is what happens when Jesus heals us, is he's bringing that resurrection life now into our physical bodies. He can breathe life into what seems dead. But it's not just our physical bodies that Jesus can give life to. You know, I believe that Jesus wants to do some resurrecting in our lives. He can bring to life what is dead. He can make the dry bones live. He can bring life into our dead faith. He can bring life into our forgotten dreams. He can resurrect our passion for Jesus. But I also believe that there's an important principle here in terms of resurrection life, because you can't resurrect something unless it's dead. We can't receive resurrection life unless we die. The key to the life that Jesus brings is death. When we come to Jesus, we are born again. We literally begin a new life. But to start a new life, we have to give up our old one. We come to Jesus to make him Lord. That means we're no longer Lord. We're surrendering to him. We are laying down our lives so that we can start a new life. That's what baptism symbolizes, doesn't it? You go into the water, it symbolizes our death, and then we come up again in new life. It symbolizes us being resurrected with Jesus. But this process of dying and being resurrected is a continual one. Because I don't know about you, but the old life likes to hang on. Would you agree? Yes. So in Matthew 26, in the Amplified version, I like this. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. That is life with me for all eternity." And Romans 8:13 says, "For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body, you will really live forever." So if we want to live, we have to die. If we want to live the real life, the vital life that Jesus comes to give us, then we need to die regularly to ourselves. More life means more death. Does that make sense? Jesus says, we need to take up our cross daily. That's an everyday process of dying, which results in an everyday process of living. You still with me? Okay. So Jesus is abundant life. So what is this new life in Jesus supposed to look like? Is it a white knuckle ride that we just kind of hang on to for dear life until we get to heaven? I don't really believe that's what Jesus ever intended. Because he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so destroy there means to ruin, abolish, loose, make useless. And abundant means over and above, exceeding what is necessary, surpassing, extraordinary, more remarkable, more excellent. Does anybody want that kind of life? Amen. But we have an enemy who wants to steal life, to kill it, to ruin it. Last time I spoke on Jesus being the truth, I talked about the deceiver who lies to us, that our enemy lies to us. And one of the ways that he keeps us bound up and restricted and not living that full life that Jesus intended is by lying to us. And then when we believe those lies, we are not able to move into everything that Jesus has for us. He wants to make us miserable, folks. Ineffective. He wants to kill our faith, to destroy our passion for Jesus, to steal our peace and joy. And last week, Daryl talked about the things that can get in the way and the way some of the techniques of the strategies of the enemy to rob us of that, the distractions that come. He's devious, you know. His methods aren't always obvious, or we would probably notice them and stand against them easier. So what does an abundant life look like? If you just imagine somebody who you're thinking is living an abundant life, I wonder what that would be. Maybe it was somebody who seems to succeed in everything that they do. They seem happy. Their family is completely functional and harmonious. Anybody got a family like that here? No, me neither. Do you have at the back there someone? No. Okay. Perhaps they're financially secure. They've got no money worries. Maybe they just breeze through life. Yeah? Does that look like an abundant life? Well, the problem is that Jesus told us he's come to bring us an abundant life, but he also told us we're going to have trouble. So abundant life does not mean a trouble-free life. However much we might like that, that isn't what we're promised. I believe an abundant life is a life that is full of what Jesus can supply. Now, scientists actually struggle to be able to define what constitutes natural life. But there are some things that they can agree on. So for something to be considered to be living rather than not living, so the difference between me and this lectern, for example, you might think there's not a lot, but I think there's a little bit. Anyway, I talk more, probably. But living things will grow. They will reproduce, they will change, and they will maintain stability in different circumstances. That's homeostasis. Now, I believe that this is not just the intention for our physical bodies, but I believe that spiritually, our spiritual life should grow, should change, should reproduce, and maintain stability. And the role of the enemy is to prevent these things from happening. He wants to keep us stuck in our difficulties. He wants us to stop us growing in God, developing in our spiritual life. He wants to stop us reproducing life, seeing people come to know Jesus. He wants us to be unstable, without peace, without contentment, without joy. That is what the enemy wants for us. But Jesus has come to bring us life. Daryl brought this recently, these few verses from Psalm 36. And verse 8 says about feasting on the abundance of your house and having drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. The source of our abundance, Jesus, the presence of God. His presence. He provides everything that we need to flourish, to grow. He is the fountain of life. You know, I believe that there's so much more that we can receive from God to enable us to live our lives every day. We can feast There is more than enough for us. Which brings me to my next point, that Jesus is the bread of life. Why do we eat? Well, we need nutrients, don't we? But food's good, isn't it? Does anybody here not like eating? Don't like eating? Oh, well, I like eating. We actually do need food and drink to survive. They contain the nutrients that our bodies need to grow and to be our fuel for energy, to repair our tissues and to do everything that our bodies need to function. And our spiritual lives need feeding too. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See, Jesus came to be the bread that satisfies. We can come constantly to Jesus to be filled. We don't need to be hungry or thirsty for long because we can come to him for more. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you eat a really big meal, you feel like, I don't want to eat for a week. You ever feel like that? And then the next day, you're hungry again. You think, oh, I feel like that meal should have really kept me going for a very long time. But it doesn't, because our bodies need daily nutrients. We can survive for a bit without food, but not for long. We need those nutrients to be able to keep living. We need regular sustenance. And Jesus, being the bread of life, is our source of regular sustenance. We need to come regularly, daily, to Jesus for our sustenance, for what our bodies, our spiritual bodies, our spiritual souls need to grow and to change and to develop and to reproduce. We need to be reading the Word of Life, who is Jesus. We need that nutrient. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a meal, I don't tend to think about what I'm taking in terms of the nutritional value of that meal, except sometimes I'll think, this is really bad. I shouldn't be eating this. And other times I'll feel very righteous because I'm eating something really healthy. But apart from that, generally I don't think, well, I'm eating this particular vitamin which is going to do this for me, and I'm eating that which is going to do that for me. And I have to say, I don't feel like, oh, well, I've just eaten vitamin D, so my bones are going to be really strong. Oh, I feel a lot stronger now. Doesn't really happen, does it? We take those things in, but we don't necessarily feel the benefit of it necessarily straight away. We feel fuller, we don't feel as hungry, but we don't notice the good, if you like, that it's doing to our body. And sometimes, you know, we'll read the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I have to confess that I do not necessarily feel like I've received something amazing every time I read the Word of God. Is anybody else? Please. Agree with me? Okay. So, you know, we can read the Word of God and not necessarily think, wow, that's a real revelation. That's something I hadn't seen before, and really feel that God has spoken to us. But we do it because it's doing us good. We may not know at that point in time the good that it's doing us, but ultimately we need that nutrient. We need that sustenance. Does that make sense? Okay. So Jesus is the light of life. There's quite a regular connection in Scripture between light and life. Now, natural light is essential for life. And without the sun, this earth would not exist in its present form, and we would not be here. But the light of Jesus is also essential for our spiritual life. This life, it gives us the light we need to live. So John 1 verse 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. And John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So following Jesus means becoming his disciple. But that word light there means to illuminate, revelation of truth, to be literally enlightened. And darkness in this context means ignorance, being kept in the dark. We use that expression, don't you? You've been kept in the dark. You haven't been informed. You don't know what's going on. And that fullness of life again. So what Jesus is saying here, that he brings the revelation that we need to live our lives for him. He lights our path through his word. The life he gives is illuminating. And we can reflect that light to others. We can reveal truth to those around us, directing them to Jesus. And this light of Jesus cannot be overcome by any darkness. The light of life cannot be defeated. Okay. I'm going the wrong way, sorry. So, just to bring things to a conclusion. Jesus is life. But he's not ordinary, everyday, just scraping by the skin of your teeth kind of life. Jesus is everlasting life, abundant life. He is the bread of life that satisfies. He is the light of life to guide us and instruct us. But this resurrection life is only available to us through death. To receive this kind of life, we need to surrender our own. For the first time, if we've never done that before, to come to Jesus, but then on a regular basis. So my question to you today is, do you have life? Do you have eternal life? Do you have resurrection life? Do you need something resurrecting in your life today? Have you got a bit stale, dry, moldy? You know, there are times in our lives when we can feel like that. Have we been plodding when we want to be running? See, Jesus wants to revive us, to breathe life into us, because that's what revive means. To renew us, to refresh us with his life. Maybe you need a bit of resurrection life in your body today. A taste of that resurrection life now in our physical body. Is the enemy trying to rob you of the abundant life that Jesus came to bring? Are you struggling maybe to stay in peace or to know that joy? Are you hungry and thirsty for more life? Perhaps you need the revelation of the light of life. Are you struggling to believe the truth, to believe that the promises of God are for you? We can come to Jesus for life today. Life is available to us. Andy, could you come and just play for us? I want to pray for us all today because I believe that there's a new level of life that we can experience, that I want to experience. I don't know if anybody else would agree today. That sometimes that means us experiencing more death in terms of us laying things down. But, you know, I believe that Jesus wants to release fresh life to us today. He may have been speaking to you personally about things in your life that actually have got a bit dead, maybe got a bit dry, that need resurrecting, that need new life. Maybe things that were alive that seem to have lost something, you know, and the lives that we live and the daily stuff and the things that get thrown at us, you know, the enemy's always going to make use of that to keep us in captivity, to hold us back, to prevent us from moving into the fullness of all that God has for us. So I want to give us all an opportunity to receive life today. So I'm just going to pray. Do you have a song or anything? I'm just going to pray. Jesus. Oh Lord, I thank you that we come to you, Jesus, as the life. Lord, if it wasn't for you, we would have no life in our bodies. You are the author of life. You created life. Lord, and I believe that, God, that you want us to live this life on this earth and for all eternity in relationship with you, the author of life. The resurrection and the life. That you want us to experience abundant life. That you want us to know that you are the bread of life that satisfies. You are the light of life that leads and guides us and reveals yourself to us. You are everything we need for life. To live, to truly live that vital life. And you bring life to our mortal bodies, Lord. And we are so grateful for that. But we are more grateful that one day we will see you face to face. And that we will know that life without end in your presence. But God, I pray that you would just speak into our hearts now. About any areas of our lives that are not fully alive. And Lord, where we need to die, where there's areas where we haven't surrendered, or perhaps we have and we just need to do it again, Lord, I pray that you will show us where we need to lay down our lives in order that we can receive your life.